Grand Solo by Fernando Sor, played there by guitarist Manuel Barueco. He was born in Cuba, but his family came to the United States some 40 years ago. He's in Nashville tonight performing Rodrigo with the Nashville Symphony.
You are listening to WHFR Dearborn, playing beautiful classical music just for you. If you have a business or organization that you would like to partner with WHFR on in getting the word out about what you do, well, we would love to talk to you. We call that concept underwriting or sponsorship, and WHFR, although a non-commercial radio station, is always open to partnering in sponsorship or underwriting with your great local business or organization. If you'd like to talk more about this very cost-effective way of getting information out about your business and letting the community know that you support WHFR, and believe me, our loyal listeners are just that, very loyal. We'd love to talk to you. Give me a call, Susan McGraw, WHFR General Manager, 313-845-9842. That's 313-845-9842. Love to talk about underwriting.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. We're bringing you non-commercial radio from Henry Ford Community College.
On your FM dial, WHFR Dearborn. I'm Susan Moreau, and my very special guest today is Barbara Williamson, Media Relations Manager of Best Friends Animal Society. Welcome to Pet Lovers Lane, Barbara.
Well, thank you very much, Susan.
And Barbara is joining us by phone. She is in another state because Best Friends happens to be located in Utah, right?
Yes, we're in an area that's called the Arizona Strip, and it's right on the border of Utah and Arizona, north of the Grand Canyon. And we are also in what's called the Golden Circle of National Parks. We're about an hour's drive from the north rim of the Grand Canyon, from Zion National Park, from Bryce National Park, Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument, and Lake Powell over in Page, Arizona. So there's a lot to see and do in this part of the country.
Well, it sounds fantastic, and someday I've got to get out there and visit that area.
Oh, it's incredible. It's Red Rock Canyon country, and it's just, it'll take your breath away.
I bet. And you're probably somewhere near the Grand Canyon?
Uh-huh. The North Rim is only about, it's really more like 45 minutes than an hour. But yeah, that's just absolutely beautiful. To get to the South Rim, you have to kind of do a difficult turn through. You go through the Navajo Nation and then through Flagstaff, Arizona, and come up the South Rim. So it's quite a bit farther. But the North Rim is really close.
My understanding of Best Friends is that you actually didn't begin in Utah. You began in Arizona.
Right. Best Friends, which is the nation's largest no-kill animal sanctuary for companion animals, it could possibly be the largest one in the world, but we don't have that documented, so we just stick with what we know for a fact. But anyway, it was literally started by a group of best friends, and they were down in Arizona on a ranch and had started collecting animals from the local shelter or other ways of rescuing, and literally outgrew the ranch. And One of the founders, Francis Batista, was out on a scouting expedition and came across this piece of country. And this used to actually be a movie ranch. What a lot of people don't know is Kanab, Arizona, is a place where a lot of movies were filmed, lots of westerns. And this site was used to film several films, including like The Outlaw, Josie Wales. And anyway, at that point, it was up for sale. The movie heyday had kind of stopped, and they were able to put all their money together and buy the area.
Oh, the best friends bought the area.
Mm-hmm. It's about 3,700 acres for the sanctuary itself, and then we've got roughly another 30,000 acres of federal and state leased land which surrounds the sanctuary. And that part has become like a de facto animal sanctuary. Like I always say, the wildlife here has had, since the middle 80s, of just being treated nicely and not being shot or harassed. And so one of the side benefits, which was not a deliberate thing, but when you come out to Best Friend Sanctuary, it's very possible that deer and wild turkey will come rather close. Now, they're obviously not pets and they're not going to come up to you, but you can actually see them fairly close. Occasionally you'll see a bobcat or a coyote, and obviously hawks, owls, all that type of thing.
Okay, well, that sounds like a great environment for animal lovers. And
oh, absolutely. We call it the sanctuary for animal lovers' hearts. It's we have people come from all over the country, in fact, all over the world. And it's either people that are active in the animal rescue community and they come here to get recharged because it's hard work, and they work very hard, and most of these people are doing it in their volunteer time, in their nights and weekends, and they'll come out here and just kind of see you know, the nation's best animal sanctuary and get to spend time with the animals and be among everybody out here has the same set of values, and it recharges them, and then they can go back out and fight the good fight again. We also have people come from all over, including countries like India and Iraq and Egypt. We've had people from Africa who come here to see how we run the sanctuary, and they take what they learn here back home.
Well, tell us, Barbara, what is the philosophy of Best Friends Animal Sanctuary?
Well, we believe overall that kindness to animals will build a better world for all of us. We really see the connection between how animals are treated by people and how people are treated by people. One of the things that not everybody may be aware of, but every single serial killer started out abusing animals. And what people in domestic violence know is that it's important, especially with the children that are victims of domestic violence, to watch how they behave with animals, because that can give you an idea of whether or not they may be going in a direction that's not going to lead to a good life for them. And so we think kindness to animals, it's like Mahatma Gandhi always said, that a culture is measured by how they treat their children, their old people, and their animals. And
well,
we believe that strongly.
I also believe that philosophy.
That it's totally unnecessary to be killing animals in shelters. And the only way that's going to change is if everybody takes responsibility. Spay and neuter your pets. Always adopt from rescue groups or shelters. Don't be buying animals. Don't support the pet trade. And if each person does what they can in their own community, we can get to the day that they won't have to do any kind of killing of adoptable animals. One of the unfortunate things is shelters across the country, they are put in a really bad position because they have to accept animals in regardless of whether or not they actually have room, which means at some point they have to make some really difficult decisions on the other end. And if people were taking responsibility, the shelters wouldn't be in the position of having to make these decisions. So we are very, very committed to doing everything we can to get people to see the connection between themselves and animals, to support people adopting from rescue, and just to bring out a better world for all of us.
Well, it sounds like a great philosophy, and I couldn't agree more. On Pet Lovers Lane, we interview a lot of animal rescue groups and people involved with animals in various ways and various groups, but we've never talked to anyone from an animal sanctuary. Could you define for us what is actually an animal sanctuary? How is it different from other rescue groups?
Well, there's a lot of good rescue groups in Michigan as well as across the country that will often have a network of foster homes and or put a large emphasis on spay-neuter of homeless pets, and they will also host adoption events or host online adoptions, but advocate for the animals in their community. A sanctuary, generally, it's a place where once the animal comes, and it's certainly true here at Best Friends, that once we accept an animal in, our promise to that animal is that the bad times are all over, and that they are going to be cherished and valued, and they are going to have a good time with us. Our goal always
making
is
ways.
Adoption, and we believe very strongly that it's a matter of matching up people with animals. We have a guardian angel program where we showcase some of our most very special needs animals, and the goal, again, is always adoption, and many of these special needs animals do get to go home. And you can find that part of our website. You go to bestfriends.org/guardian angel, and it'll take you straight out there. But overall, we can have about a 75% adoption rate. But while they're here, we want this to be as good a life as possible. So we have good caregivers. We welcome volunteers year-round. We have wonderful people that plan vacations out here. They take time off work. They collect their family. They come out, and they work with the animals. And so basically, our creatures get a lot of comfort.
But so the 75% of the animals are adopted, and then what happens to the other 25%?
We spoil them rotten. As long as they're here, they are going to get the next best thing to a family. Obviously, we never give up hope that they're going to get adopted. We do have hospice adoptions and adoptions of senior animals. In fact, the last couple of years, we've just been seeing wonderful numbers of our old dogs, especially. Last year, they adopted out 52 geezer dogs. It was great. but if they're here, and for some of them, this will be their life. They may have been abused so badly in their past that it's really difficult for them to ever go into a home, or their medical needs are so large that they're best off here. But again, referring back to our Guardian Angel program, we see animals with all sorts of issues that do get to go home. But the ones that stay here, they get what they need. The animals are individuals here. Nobody's a number.
So they live there, and they can live out the rest of their days.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
In Angel Canyon, Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. And we're near the city of Kanab, Utah, which is a very small town. And again, that was quite a movie town in its heyday. Its nickname was Little Hollywood.
Well, that sounds like fun to me. Yeah. You are listening to Pet Lovers Lane, located at 89.3 on your FM dial. I am Susan Morrell, and our guest today on Pet Lovers Lane is Barbara Williamson. She is Media Relations Manager of Best Friends Animal Society. They are an animal sanctuary located in Angel Canyon, Utah. Tell us more about the actual function of the sanctuary. How does it run? Do you have employees there year-round taking care of the animals? What about your admissions process? Where are the animals coming from and things like that?
Well, most of our animals that get in here come from other rescue groups, and we have a department called Animal Help, which is where all requests for an animal to be admitted to the sanctuary start, and they deal with about 2,000 urgent calls a month. And to give you an idea, on any given day, we have between 1,500 and 2,000 animals. Right now, for some time, we've been at just about 2,000 animals. But our animal help department will look at the request, see whether or not there is another solution that would be better for the animal, look at whether or not we have space for that particular animal. It's a very exacting art, making sure that we can meet the needs of the animal, that the animal will fit in with the animals that they'd be living with. And so what we have to do a lot is help people find out that they can be the hero. There's a lot of things that people can do to help get animals placed, and obviously if it's a 50-mile drive to a home versus a 1,000-mile drive to the sanctuary. We would much prefer seeing them get to go home closer to their community.
Well, are you taking in animals from other states, or is this just Utah?
Yes, they come from, again, mostly rescue groups, occasionally from individual requests, but they come from all over the United States.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and occasionally we will have animals come from other countries, but that's not nearly as frequent.
Wow, this is pretty fantastic. I love the concept. I really do.
Well, and to give you an idea, we often do trades with rescue groups. They'll send us, for instance, a dog that really, really is not an easy to adoption. Maybe it's a very fearful dog that will snap at people. And that rescue group may take several of our dogs that are really very ready to go home and don't have any issues. So we will do trades when it's appropriate. We look, you know, we really want as much as possible for Best Friends to be the last house on the block for animals for which there really isn't another option. And that's, again, getting back to that we really work to empower people to see what they can do, because we can't solve the homeless pet problems here at Best Friends, not when there's 4 to 5 million animals being killed in shelters every year, and we can only have about 2,000 animals here at any given time, and we don't euthanize for space.
Well, it's a very sad commentary, and I've said it many, many times here on Pet Lovers Lane. It's truly a sad commentary that we have not resolved this issue of pet euthanization in our society, that pets are considered throwaway creatures oftentimes. Mm-hmm. People just leave them behind to fend for themselves. They take them to the shelter. It's tragic. It's tragic.
Well, and if you think about it, if you cannot make a commitment to an animal who really asks very little of you, how are you going to commit to a family? And you wouldn't leave your children behind if you're moving, so why would that be the reason to leave behind your pet?
Well, I agree. I couldn't agree more. That's how I got into the cat rescue business myself. I started rescuing these little homeless cats and kittens from my neighborhood. I've been doing that for about 5 years now, but I have my own collection going at home, so. But, you know, they're very lovable. I didn't realize how lovable cats are. People had always said, oh, they're so aloof, they're not your best friend like a dog. But they're really much more affectionate than people realize.
Oh, well, and you're talking to one of the great crazy cat ladies.
I'm a crazy cat lady, too.
cats are more subtle. I always say, you know, dogs just give it away for free. They wear their hearts on their sleeves. And cats make you work for it.
Yeah, exactly.
But they absolutely do. They get just as completely interested in what you're doing as a dog does. It's just... you know that saying about dogs have families and cats have staff?
I'm the staff.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm always on KP duty, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of admissions, you're working out an arrangement. Are there any funds donated? Are you asking for a donation? Are
no,
you asking
we,
people?
No, we do not. Admission to Best Friends Animal Sanctuary is not predicated on a donation. Again, it's a variety of factors, and it's always individualized to the particular animal.
But are you asking people to deliver them to you? Do you ever pick up animals?
No. It would be their responsibility to get the animal here.
Okay, and that wouldn't be a bad trip at all, I'm sure.
No. But again, we simply cannot take every animal here. What we do through our animal help department is work with people to give them resources and suggestions on how they can work to find homes for animals in their community. And, you know, that's why it's so incredibly important that if somebody's interested in helping animals, and yes, we certainly welcome volunteers here. We absolutely couldn't do what we're doing here without volunteers. But it's very, very important to look at what's going on in your own community. I bet you that there's rescue groups and adoption centers and spay-neuter clinics that would just love a weekend day of your time.
Well, absolutely. I'm sure that's true. I know that I think that you are probably, as you say, the largest animal sanctuary in the United States. If there is anyone listening who may be interested in starting their own animal sanctuary, what recommendations would you give?
Well, the first thing that they should do is really think about whether or not a sanctuary is the appropriate thing. We run workshops here every single year for people that are interested in doing that.
And at what time of year? And How would a person find out? Go to your website?
Right. There's a section on the left-hand side that says No More Homeless Pets. There's like a series of listings in a left-hand column. If you click on No More Homeless Pets, and then within that you'll see a section that says Workshops and Events, and those are workshops here at the sanctuary. And registration does fill up very quickly for these. The next How to Start an Animal Sanctuary workshop in June, for instance, is already full. Then we have one in August.
Now, is this a two-day workshop or a week?
No,
or?
It's a week. It's a very intensive week. And the last one for 2008 will be in November. People's heads hurt by the time they get through with this.
So they come there and you have lodging, food and lodging for them there?
They will be responsible for their own lodgings. We do feed them lunch. There's a lot of good hotels in Kanab, so there's plenty of choices. We don't have the lodging to accommodate everybody that does the workshops.
Okay, and, but in other words, so it's a whole week workshop, so there's really a lot to it to start an animal sanctuary.
Oh, absolutely. Another thing that people may be interested in is we'd love to have people from Michigan there. We're starting up these conferences that we used to do, which are called No More Homeless Pets. And again, it's very much about how you can help animals in your own community. It's going to be in Las Vegas from October 24th to October 26th.
Well, there's a good reason to go to Vegas.
Oh, absolutely. And the online registration and information is at a website called No More Homeless Pets Conference. It's rather a long one. So No More Homeless Pets Conference, all one word, .org. And they can find out all about that. But that conference is going to have panel discussions and workshops and seminars. And we're going to be looking at successful model programs and how-to information on community outreach strategies, fundraising, how to increase your adoptions and spay-neuter, how you can help feral cats in your community, volunteer recruitment and coping with burnout, and more above and beyond that.
Is this also on your website?
Yes. The best place to go right now is nomorehomelesspetsconference.org. Closer to the conference, we'll be promoting it on bestfriends.org.
Okay, so bestfriends.org. It's a fabulous website. I have visited the website. It's just a wealth of information about the organization and mm-hmm. the philosophy. One of the major philosophies of your organization is the No More Homeless Pets philosophy, correct?
Right.
And then you have a whole area on the website that's devoted to
absolutely
to the activities and the philosophy.
We sure do. We've got lots of resources out there, and we work closely with rescue groups across the country. There's no way that one organization is going to be able to tackle every aspect and solve the problems for homeless pets in this country. It's going to take all of us working together.
Oh, I agree. I couldn't agree more. You are listening to Pet Lovers Lane. Pet Lovers Lane is a news, information, and talk show about pets, for pets, and for pet lovers. I'm a pet lover, and I know Barbara is a pet lover. We are talking today with Barbara Williamson, who is Media Relations Manager of Best Friends Animal Society, which is an animal sanctuary in Angel Canyon, Utah. Barbara, I ask every single guest on the program, how did you become an animal lover?
Well, you know, I don't remember not being an animal lover. And one of my favorite questions whenever I'm writing an article is, how old were you the first time you rescued an animal? And it's very interesting. Most people, if they stop and they think about it, by the time they were 8, 9 years old, they'd already rescued an animal. I don't really think I had a choice. The animals come find me. And so I got involved with rescue groups over the years and became a member of Best Friends in the mid-90s and then came to work here 5 years ago.
What kind of pets did you have as a child?
Oh, we had parakeets, we had guinea pigs, we had dogs, cats, bunny rabbits, just a little bit of everything.
I love that.
Yeah, and as an adult, dogs and cats.
Dogs and cats.
And I've also had parakeets in a conure.
A house full of pets is a house full of love, right?
Yes, absolutely.
It's absolutely a house full of love. I want to turn now to talk about the animals at the sanctuary, some of the success stories that you've had there at Best Friends Animal Sanctuary, and some of the categories you have for adoptable pets.
We've got a lot of categories. Obviously, dogs and cats. We have bunny rabbits. We have horses. We have sheep, goats, pot-bellied pigs, a little bit of everything. We do not get into amphibians, though. That's not an area of expertise for us. Neither is reptiles. So we get adoptions out of all those areas.
And you have bunny rabbits, and you mm-hmm. actually have some wildlife there.
Yes, we do. We have a wildlife rehabilitation person, and we are licensed with the state. We have what's a few educational animals at any given time, and these are wildlife individual animals that their injuries were so bad that they would not be able to survive in the wild, but they can live a good life provided they're cared for. So we have a few educational animals. There's one or two that can actually like go out to schools or meet people. We do an event out at Zion National Park every year and take a couple of our raptor birds or the hawk-type birds. So we do have that. Now, what we also have is a component of rehabilitation where there are animals that they need a little extra care, but they're absolutely going to be able to return to the wild. And that's always the goal with wildlife rehabilitation. We had a bobcat kitten for a while and did everything we could to make sure that the cat did not have much interaction with people, because in the wild, a bobcat is not going to be interacting with people. And literally had a little camera on the little kitten to keep an eye on it. And then that cat was relocated with a cat rescue that specializes in wildcats.
Oh, okay. So then it was eventually returned to the wild.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love that story. And what about wild birds?
Yes, the hawks, the owls. We definitely get some of those in. Now, the wildlife rehabilitation, that's not, it's a small number every year. We're not set up to be a large-scale wildlife rehabilitation program, but we most definitely do have birds of prey that we rehabilitate and release, as well as crows and jays and magpies.
Usually,
you know, there's the times that somebody finds a baby bird by the side of the road, and it's obviously not ready to be on its own, and they'll rush it out here, and hopefully our guys can save it and help it get back to being a normal wild animal.
Well, this is true. And I know you have a lot of interesting categories. I was going through the website of your adaptable pets. One of the categories that I came across was ducks. And, you know, I've always wanted to have a duck as a pet. So I would like you to tell me a little bit about what it would be like to have a duck as a pet, and what would be the qualifications that you're looking for someone to be eligible to adopt a duck.
Well, and obviously if somebody was seriously wanting to get into that, we would want them to talk with our Feathered Friends Department directly. I'm not a duck expert. I'll tell you what I know off the top of my head, which is, of course, we would need for it to have a safe fenced enclosure, a fenced yard. We would want the duck where there's not a chance of it being hurt by a dog. They thrive on having ponds. Or at least a portable swimming pool, but ducks have to have water. We have had adopters that will. Now, you cannot housebreak a duck. I'm sorry. It's not possible. But if you are willing to have your duck come into your tiled kitchen or laundry room for a visit and clean up after it, you can certainly do that. They enjoy that. Ducks can hug, which is just darling. They'll wrap their head over your shoulder and give you a nice hug.
Aww.
And they'll follow you around the yard. And then they need, of course, a nice insulated place to snuggle in on a cold night. And light bulbs often can work, you know, good clean straw that you change daily, and a light bulb can be a good space. And I don't know this for a fact, but I'm willing to bet that online you can find insulated little duck houses.
Oh, really? No, but can a duck exist in a cold climate over the winter like Michigan?
Oh, well, for heaven's sakes, yes. I mean, ducks are, they are animals that are migratory. Now, what you would need to do is, again, you've got to make sure they've got a warm home.
Right.
You certainly wouldn't want them out there exposed to the elements because, as you know, a very cold weather, it definitely would be difficult for them to survive that.
Now, what
but
about
if they've got a nice, snug little house that they can waddle into and nestle down into their straw? I think, you know, it really doesn't have to be very complicated, but you would definitely want it insulated. Like if you could have plyboard to the outside, good thick insulation, plyboard to the inside, ventilation holes, and then up high, if you could put in a light bulb for those cold nights, that would make a nice safe. Now, again, I'm not an expert on ducks, so would definitely want to have you or anybody else who's interested in talking about that. I'd want you to talk with our people that really know more about providing a proper home for a duck.
Right. Does a duck like to be the only duck, or do they like company? They like another duck.
You know, it depends on the duck. They are amazingly kind of like people. They are a little picky about their friends sometimes. They can be very, very social. They can only connect with another duck. Occasionally you will run across the rogue duck that just wants its people.
And what about cats and ducks?
I don't know that I'd recommend that. Now, my next-door neighbors
right.
have six spoiled, rotten chickens that run the entire yard, and the dog and the cat sit and watch them and don't bother them. I think it would really depend on your cat. If your cat is not very motivated to stalk, it might be okay. Or if your cat is an indoor kitty, there's not an issue there at all.
Right. My cats are indoor cats. Tell me a little bit about horses.
Well, horses are, of course, magnificent creatures. And sadly, this is one of the issues we really want people to start paying attention to, is that we were talking earlier about the disposable society, and there still is the mindset that if you can't ride a horse, it's no good, and they're sent away. Horses make wonderful companions. They have a very loyal heart. For such a large animal, they can be somewhat delicate, and again, horse people, and I'm not a horse expert, know much more about this than I do, but you definitely have to pay very careful attention to what you are feeding them and work closely with your veterinarian and other horse experts to make sure you're providing the diet that they need. This country was basically built, if you think about it, on the back of a horse. We need to do better by horses in this country. It shouldn't be that horses are being loaded up and taken off to slaughter.
Well, that's true. Are horses being abandoned?
Oh, yeah. It's a definite issue. And when it really gets to be an issue is when the horse is not rideable. Most of our horses here are what we would call pasture pals. They're not rideable. But we do get them adopted out. I think more and more people are beginning to see, you know, if you're fortunate enough to have pasture land, how wonderful to be able to just watch horses being horses.
Well, when you say the horse is not rideable, what is this, a medical reason, a health reason?
Right. They're either too old, or they simply can't bear the weight anymore. They may have there's just so many. The more I'm learning about horses, they're just very intricate animals, and there's just so many things that need to be paid attention to. They can have problems with their feet, problems with their knees. We actually have a horse right now, and we're going to be very excited when she gets to come home. She's getting a prosthetic limb, which is almost unheard of. Normally, when one of the legs is not working anymore, the horses are put down. This is obviously not practical. And this is where a sanctuary can be very important, because a prosthetic limb on a horse is a very expensive proposition.
Right.
When Riley gets to come home, we're going to be very excited. She's doing quite well, I hear.
Okay, so she's going to be up for adoption.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, are there any pets you'd like to highlight and tell us about that are ready for adoption?
We have just a lot of kitties still from one of the largest single cat rescues ever. Last summer, we were called out to the Nevada desert where there was, as it turned out, more than 700 cats in this compound and in very, very hot, harsh conditions, and they were not being cared for. It was just really pretty awful. And we've gotten many of them adopted out, but we still have about 200 of them. And some of them, because of what they went through, are very, very frightened, and so they are going through Miss Sherry's Finishing School for Felines, which is our nickname for just helping these cats get over their fears.
Well, what are some of the tips you would advise to get help cats?
Well, this particular thing is really only appropriate in a shelter setting. If you're working with an individual shy cat, the very best thing you can do is to put them in a nice, safe, small room, like a small bedroom or even a laundry room or a bathroom to start. But what you're going to be working on is sitting down quietly, enticing the kitty with baby food, maybe a soft feather wand, and slowly working with them to help them come over their fears. And we recommend that, quite frankly, with any of our cats, that when they go home, the first thing you should do is have a nice, small, quiet, safe place. Give them time to get acclimated to you, to their new home. Let the other animals kind of meet them under the door of the bedroom. And then, you know, begin the introductions later. One of the worst mistakes I think people generally make is they take their kitten or their cat home from an adoption event and then just release them into the house. And it's just too big. It's overwhelming. They do much, much better if they can have a few weeks in a nice, safe, quiet spot and then slowly become more used to the rest of the house. Their confidence, it makes them feel safer. They get to know you in a much more intimate setting, and then they can relax and come into the house.
Those are tips for kitty cats, and you have lots of cats ready for adoption at this point. Any advice on parrots?
We've recently really have gotten to the understanding that we're going to be promoting that people consider not having parrots as pets at all. They are really meant to be out in the wild. And what most of us don't really think about is that in order for parrots to be part of your life, it's a phenomenal commitment. They are incredibly intelligent. They're incredibly sensitive, and they need a lot of interaction.
A lot of attention.
Flock animals.
A lot of attention.
A lot of attention. And one of the saddest tragedies is the importation of parrots. And I don't remember the statistics off the top of my head, but a phenomenally high percentage of the ones that are brought in, imported in, will die. And even if they've been raised, you know, from an aviary, they're not very many generations removed from a wild animal.
But they're dying for what reason?
Well, in the transport.
Oh.
We say that, but the other part of it, and it's a little bit of a complicated thing because absolutely we have rescued parrots here. In fact, we have a beautiful section of the sanctuary called the Parrot Garden where we have these great big outside cages that they get to come out during the day and feel the sun on their back and see all of the colors and everything, and then they go back inside the building at night. There's unfortunately an awful lot of parrots that need rehoming. Parrots, I believe, if I remember correctly, will go through an average of 7 to 8 homes in their lifetime.
Oh, isn't that
sad?
It's
very, very hard on them. They bond very deeply. They're very sensitive. They're very intelligent. And they also tend to live very long times. So even if you were a young married couple and you adopted a parrot, it's quite reasonable to believe that by the time you're ready to go to the retirement home, this parrot is still around and needs a place to be.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and so there's definitely some serious things to think about. And if you are going to have a parrot in your home, they need toys, they need a very specific diet, they need tons of interaction. And generally speaking, they would do much better if there's another parrot there. But we don't advocate parrots as pets. What we advocate is that people support the idea that parrots belong in the wild.
And where should they be released? in
See, that's the other part. You really can't just release a parrot once they've been in. So that's why, unfortunately, we definitely do have rescue parrots here. Because once they've been taken away from their natural settings, you simply can't do that. They, you know, unless you're an experienced wildlife rehabber and know exactly what you're doing, it certainly would not be something that just anybody should be doing. So there are, unfortunately, lots of parrots in rescue situations and parrots that simply will not be able to make it in the wild. They never learned how to be a proper parrot, but they're maybe like one or two generations away from a wild bird.
Oh, gee, it's a terrible situation.
And I understand completely. I mean, I had a conure years ago. They're amazing animals. They, again, it's kind of like cats get a bad rap. Well, parrots are very engaging animals, but they need so much interaction. And if they don't get that, that's when the feather plucking starts or other issues.
So they're a more challenging pet to take care of in terms of care than a dog or a cat or even perhaps a horse.
Well, I don't know. I mean, each animal has its own special needs, but they definitely are a high-maintenance pet. And
high
it's
maintenance.
A very, very serious commitment
very
to
serious.
Make. And, you know, so we just really would encourage people to think very seriously about it. And if they are going to have a parrot, make sure that they've got everything they need to be a happy animal.
Well, yes, I couldn't agree more.
But then we would say that of any, whether you have a pot-bellied pig, a goat, a cat, a dog, whatever, they're a member of your family, and they deserve to be treated as such.
And it's a commitment.
Absolutely.
In terms of time, resources, and love. You have to share your love and your life with your pet, right?
Right.
You are listening to Pet Lovers Lane, located at 89.3 on your FM dial, WHFR Dearborn. I am Susan Morrell, and I'm joined on the phone today from Angel Canyon, Utah, Barbara Williamson, Media Relations Manager of Best Friends Animal Society and Sanctuary. And we're getting ready to wrap up the show here, Barbara, but I just wish that you'd kind of give us a little bit more contact information about your organization, the website, the contact phone number, some of the other resources that you offer. I know you have a magazine, some of the funding issues, and just any other announcements you'd like our listeners to know.
Okay. Well, first of all, we're located outside of Kanab, Utah. Just about 5 miles outside of Kanab, which is Little Hollywood. And we are at 5001 Angel Canyon Road. Our mailing address is Kanab, Utah. Zip is 84741. Our main phone number is 435-644-2001. Our website is bestfriends.org. And you can email info@bestfriends.org for further information. We also have visiting@bestfriends.org and volunteers@bestfriends.org for further information. And anybody who's interested in donating can go to donations@bestfriends.org or on our website, Giving to Best Friends, and you can click on that. It's on the left-hand side, you'll see a column of headings, and the second one down is givingtobestfriends.org, and it'll explain all of the different ways that you can donate. If you donate $25 a year or more, you get the magazine, which is the nation's largest general interest circulation for animal lovers.
Is it all about your organization or about?
No, we definitely do feature both our outreach through our community programs and services group as well as what's going on at the sanctuary, but we do have news that is not related to Best Friends, but our slogan is all the good news about animals, the earth and the environment.
That sounds fantastic. And then in addition to that, you have lots of free resources and consulting on your website.
Absolutely. If you go under the No More Homeless Pets section, you'll find you and your animals, and you'll find information on our workshops and events. We have just a major resource library, like how to help find homes for pets, and almost anything you want to know, we've got a little bit of information out there.
So if any of our listeners are deciding that they want to make their vacation out to Best Friends in Angel Canyon, Utah, how can they make arrangements? Should they call you in advance? Or
we are open pretty much year-round. We close on Christmas Day, and we have a like, as a matter of fact, this afternoon we're going to do an all-employee meeting, so we'll be closed this afternoon. But generally we're open year-round, and we do not require that you register, but it's getting more and more important that people do. I was just talking with our volunteer coordinator, and we've had a 70% increase in the number of volunteers year-to-date from last year. And so the tours are also getting fuller. So the best thing to do is to either contact us by phone, 435-644-2001, or email visiting@bestfriends.org. And if possible, we do appreciate it if you can reserve your time on the tour. There's tours offered several times during the day. Once the van is full, then, of course, you would have to wait for the next available one. So if you're already got a reservation, and the tours are free, by the way.
And the tours are how long?
They're about an hour and a half.
Okay, and that takes you all through the sanctuary.
Mm-hmm. It sure does, and it's a great... And what happens for a lot of our visitors is they'll do the tour in the morning, and then they come back to the Welcome Center. They'll spend a little time in the gift shop, then they'll come up to where we all have lunch, and then go volunteer in the afternoon. If they're going to be working with the dogs, they need to see a training video. Otherwise, they'll register with the volunteer office in the morning before they leave for lunch and then go to the area that they want to work in that afternoon.
Well, it sounds fantastic. And what I'm going to do is when I go home today, I'm going to pack my suitcase and keep it ready just in case I have the opportunity to come out for a visit, because it sounds fantastic, and I'm very much interested, you know, volunteering, and fabulous workshops sound
wonderful.
Oh, absolutely.
And the No More Homeless Pets conference this fall in Las Vegas, I think, is going to be very interesting, very dynamic. But I will warn you, if you come out to visit Best Friends Animal Sanctuary, if you come out once, you will be back. We have people that come out two and three times a year. And another thing that people are starting to do more and more is after they retire, they come and move to Kanab so they can be close by and volunteer when they feel like it.
Well, I might just bring the pets with me and
absolutely.
Come in one fell swoop, join the group.
Yep.
But it sounds like a great place.
What you need to know is that this is what you call a possible dream.
Well, it's a dream that became a reality.
Absolutely. And we encourage anybody who wants to help make the world better for animals and people, don't ever give up on your dreams.
Are the Best Friends, original Best Friends, still out there?
Oh, definitely. The founders are here.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I mean, it's a dream that became a reality, and it's a mm-hmm. fantastic reality. I love the philosophy. I love the concept. I love the idea of an animal sanctuary. That's something that's in my dreams. I have my own little animal sanctuary at home. It's on a very small scale. It's a great model that you have for all
right.
of us.
Right, and the one thing, if anybody's thinking about doing a sanctuary, it's a very intensive thing, and that's why we always encourage people to take the workshop, or we'll be happy to talk with them, because unfortunately, if you don't look at your funding, if you don't look at where your volunteers are going to be coming from, how many people you need, how much space, are you within the zoning requirements of your community, you can lose your dream real quickly. It's a lot of work, but there's other things that are every bit as important. Spay-neuter clinics, adoption centers, foster homes. There's a lot of ways to help animals without building a sanctuary.
Well, that
by the
is
way,
true.
I'd like to mention a couple of years ago, we rescued 1,600 rabbits from a hoarder. And what your listeners may not be aware of is you have the nation's largest rabbit sanctuary right there in Michigan.
Oh.
It's called the Great Lakes Rabbit Sanctuary. And they took 600 of the rabbits from this massive rescue operation, and we were very appreciative. If people would like to find out more, their website is rabbitsanctuary.org, and their phone number is 734-461-1726, info@rabbitsanctuary.org. And they need volunteers, they need donations, and they need support in a variety of ways. But they were certainly a huge help to us during that rabbit rescue.
Okay, and so they are right here in Michigan. Do you happen to know what city?
Whitaker, Michigan.
Okay, I think that's somewhere not that far away. I don't know exactly where. Pet lovers here from Michigan will find it.
Yes, absolutely.
Barbara Williamson from Best Friends Animal Society in Angel Canyon, Utah. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
I am Susan Morell, and you are listening to Pet Lovers Lane, located on WHFR Dearborn. We are making waves. And stay tuned for our Pet Lovers Lane calendar for June 2008. Are listening to Pet Lovers Lane, located at 89.3 on your FM dial, WHFR Dearborn. I'm Susan Morell, and I thank you so much for staying tuned. This is our June 2008 show. We're going to move on now to our calendar. June is Adopt a Shelter Cat Month. It is also National Disaster Preparedness Month for pets. And June 20th is Take Your Pet to Work Day. So I hope that your boss will permit you to do that, because that sounds like a really fun day for you and your pet and for everyone at the office. We have a number of events going around Metro Detroit and the state of Michigan. PAWS, P-A-W-S of Michigan, it holds a meet and greet every Saturday from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. at the PetSmart in Woodhaven at 23470 Allen Road. The contact number is 313-561-1823. And the Canine Castle Save a Pet Rescue, they are in Clinton Township. They hold a meet and greet every Saturday from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. And that is located at 35135 Harper, Clinton Township. The phone number, 586-792-5187. And the Great Lakes Rabbit Sanctuary is holding an adoption event at the petemporium.com. Well, that's the info, petemporium.com on the web. And that will be held this Saturday, June 14th, from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. Yes, it is at the Pet Emporium at 4940 Ann Arbor Saline Road in the city of Ann Arbor. And we have a number of other events. We have the Greyhounds of Eastern Michigan also is having a meet and greet on Saturday. That's today, June 14th, from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. And that will be in Westland at the Petco at 35725 Warren Road. The event is free. And the Mid-Michigan Boxer Rescue also is having a meet and greet this Saturday, June 14th, from noon until 4 p.m. That's in Warren at, it says, MPS 5713 13 Mile Road. And that event is free. The Mackinac Island Lilac Festival is supporting various rescue groups at a parade and meet and greet. And that is going to take place this Saturday and Sunday, June 14th and 15th, from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m., and that's on Mackinac Island. So if you have a chance to run up to Mackinac Island, it's a great place. I urge everyone to visit. There are no cars. There are horse-drawn carriages, and you walk and you bike around the island and join the pets for the parade. There is also going to be a Great Dane Rescue meet and greet on Saturday, June 15th from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. That is in the city of Frankenmuth at Raining Cats and Dogs at 925 South Main Street, number 84. The contact number is 989-652-8100. K925 is holding a Poochapalooza on Saturday, June 24th. 1st at the Detroit Riverwalk, and there is a charge of $15 per dog or $10 per dog in advance. So that sounds like fun. The Mutts and Mutts Rescue League is holding Doggy Rama Days on Saturday, June 21st from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. That will be in the city of Redford at 12400 Beach Daily Road. The contact number is 313-232-0382. The Michigan Pug Rescue is holding a Doggy Rama also on Saturday, June 21st from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. in the city of Redford at the Redford Ice Arena at 12400 Beach Road. The Michigan Retired Greyhounds as Pets Group is holding their annual family picnic on Sunday, June 22nd at Mayberry Park in the city of Northville. And that event is free, so that might be a fun day for a picnic. And the Cocker Spaniel Rescue Group of Mid-Michigan is holding a meet and greet on Saturday, June 26th from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. And that is in Frankenmuth at Raining Cats and Dogs at 925 South Main Street, number 84. And the contact number is 989-652-8100. Maybe there's a couple other events here that we want to highlight. The Furry Friends Rescue is holding an adoption event, and they hold theirs every Saturday from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. at Pet Provisions on the corner of Grand River and Whitmore Lake Road. And the contact number is 248-860-5688. The Affection Connection Rescue and Adoption is every Saturday, and they tell you to call for the location. They do not give the location. And their phone number is 586-792-7950. The Precious Pets Adoption League holds an adoption event every Saturday from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. in Sterling Heights at the Petco, 13701 Lakeside Circle. And the Fortunate Feline Adoption League, that sounds like a great group. They hold adoption events every Saturday from noon until 5 p.m. at the Petco on 9 Mile and Gratiot. The Furry Friends Rescue Group also every Saturday at Pet Provisions, Grand River and Whitmore Lake Road. Homeward Bound Rescue League has an adoption event every Saturday in the city of Canton from noon until 4 p.m. at Pet Supplies Plus at 43665 Ford Road. Here's one more event that I want to highlight. This is in Kalamazoo. This is the Midwest Animal Blood Services Volunteer Canine Blood Drive, and that's also held Saturday, June 14th. That's today from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. And that is at the Sprinkle Road Veterinary Clinic at 2659 Sprinkle Road. And that event is free. And the phone number is 269-349-6060. The Humane Society of Livingston County is holding their 14th annual golf outing, and that will be Monday, June 16th at Lakeland's Golf and Country Club. Well, there is a cost to that one. It's $150. So that's all we have for today on Pet Lovers Lane. I am Susan Morell, and I thank you so much for joining me here on Pet Lovers Lane, located at 89.3 on your FM dial, WHFR Dearborn. We are making waves. Please join us for Pet Lovers Lane on the second Saturday of every month at 10 a.m. right here on WHFR. If you do miss the show, look it up on the website, whfr.fm, for the four Under the Forum shows. And the show is podcast, and you can download it for probably at least several months after the broadcast of that show. We hope you do, and we hope you join us with your pet on Pet Lovers Lane. I'm Susan Morell.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. We're bringing you non-commercial radio from Henry Ford Community College. Good morning, my name is Bill Keith, and it is a pleasure to be here with you on this Father's Day weekend. Right now, some music from the 77s from their EP Direct. This song is called Take Your Mind Off It. You're listening to 89.3.
On your fine.